There is a building up of one another. We need each other. But let me say that it must begin with face-to-face fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
I want you to listen and believe the voice.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. Our current study is based on Paul's letter to the church in Thessalonica. This was a strong congregation of believers. Despite constant attacks from both their political and religious enemies, Paul's readers were growing in faith and growing in numbers. In many ways, their issues were a lot like ours. And Paul's advice to the Thessalonians is still practical today. So let's join the congregation of Calvary Chapel and listen to Pastor J.D.'s message.
I'd like for you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy? Or crown of rejoicing, is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. I've entitled this message, Effective Fellowship. Effective Fellowship. And though the word fellowship is not mentioned in this text directly, we clearly see it described by the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Thessalonica, as he expresses his longing desire to be with them in fellowship. But we need to understand that in the scriptures and the New Testament church, that fellowship had a much deeper and greater meaning than normally what we understand it to be today in the church. And so I'd like for us to explore and discover, what does the Bible here this morning in this short passage of text have to say about fellowship? What is fellowship and what is effective fellowship? Well, first of all, we find that fellowship is founded upon the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Now, the rock we know is Jesus Christ. He is the foundation, you might say, for fellowship is the person of Jesus Christ. And listen, the Bible says that it is in Jesus Christ that we are joined together as one body of believers. And you remember that as Mary met the Lord on the road to Galilee, you remember what the Lord said to Mary? He said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there you will see me." He said, "Go and tell my brethren." Do you know that this is the first time that our Lord ever used that phrase, brethren, as referring to the disciples? You may remember back in John's gospel, he said, "No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So they were, first of all, this servant relationship. Then what happened? It entered into this relationship of friendship. But then something special happened. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we find the Lord now saying and calling his disciples brethren. You see, because through the death of Jesus Christ, this new family relationship was established that never existed before. Now we can look at each other in Christ because of the work that he has done on the cross. We now can say that we are brethren, and the Lord can call us brethren. And so we have this new relationship. It's really what you might call the new covenant relationship, the family of God and the new covenant. I believe in what is probably one of the greatest fellowship passages in all the Bible. It's in 1 John. And I'd like for you to turn with me there. 1 John, let's look at verses 3 through 7. Because here, John describes to the church the fellowship that exists in Jesus Christ. He says, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And what does it say here? And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. So Paul here, as he uses the word brethren, he is intentionally drawing attention to the family relationship that John is describing right here in Jesus Christ. It's because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses a man from all sin that we can have this union with him and that we have this union with one another. Now, in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1, the writer declares, "Therefore, holy brethren." And so the New Living Translation says, "Dear brothers and sisters who belong to God." And so that's the family relationship that we have. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. So, number two, the second principle is this: effective fellowship is face-to-face fellowship. It says in verse 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face." Now, keep in mind, we're talking about a culture that did not have the cell phone. You know, anymore, when you get a cell phone call, it's like you can see the face of who's calling, whether you want to or not, right there in front of you. And that was the chief way that you communicated with someone, is face-to-face, verbally, either that or in a letter. It had a great and a deeper meaning then than it does to us now. Now we kind of take the face-to-face thing for granted. Why? Because if I want to talk to you, I can call you up on the phone or I can send you an email. But then it was face-to-face. And listen, when Paul is talking about here fellowship, he's talking about face-to-face, being in the presence of one another, being together. Now, let me give you just a little bit of background regarding this passage. You have to remember, if you go back to Acts chapter 17, that Paul was in Thessalonica only for a very short time. And you may recall that he was run out of town. You remember that the mob came to Jason's house. They thought maybe Paul was staying there, and a very angry mob in this town. And listen, they were really out to get Paul. They were really upset with Paul and the ministry that was taking place. And so Paul had to leave town. So he says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence." In other words, it's because we had to leave. We didn't want to leave, but we were forced out. And we were taken away from you in presence, Paul says, but only for a short time. Finally, he says, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face." The word endeavored here, it carries with it the idea of haste or speed. What he's referring to here is this tremendous, overwhelming desire that he had within his heart to be together with this church at Thessalonica. So it's this face-to-face fellowship. Now, sometimes when we think of face-to-face, we think of something like, well, we kind of hang out together. And that's an expression we use a lot. You know, I hang out with you or you hang out with me. But fellowship, face-to-face, has a much deeper and greater meaning than just hanging out together. And this is what I want you to get this morning. It's deeper than just the presence of one another. It's what happens when we're together. That's what fellowship is. What happens when we come together? Fellowship is when we come together that there is a sharing together in the things of Jesus Christ. That is what fellowship is. It's when we come together, there's a sharing together in the things of Christ. There is an encouraging of one another in Christ. There is a building up of one another. And there is this aspect of fellowship that goes much deeper than just hanging out together. It's God means for it to be encouraging, uplifting. We need each other. And so we have this aspect of face-to-face fellowship that Paul describes to us. But let me first of all say that it must begin with face-to-face fellowship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, everything in fellowship flows out of that relationship. The Bible describes two relationships, the vertical relationship and a horizontal relationship. Now, our vertical relationship is that which we have with God the Father through the Son, Jesus Christ. And then we have this horizontal relationship that we have with one another. But you see, that horizontal relationship is to come out of or to grow out of the vertical relationship that we have with the Father. You see, I can't give you anything more in fellowship than what I've already taken in from Jesus Christ by spending time with Him. Do you know that? I can't give you anything more. What I give to you comes from my own personal time with the Lord. And that's the way it's to be with you too. When you come in and you fellowship with another person, what you're giving them is what God has given you because you have spent time with Him in fellowship face to face with Him. There's an old hymn. It went like this. It goes, "Face to face, Lord, let me know you." Pardon me, it's a chorus. My wife reminded me this morning. "Face to face, Lord, let me see you. In this place of quiet communion, Lord, let me know you face to face." And listen, if we're going to have effective fellowship with one another, it cannot occur unless we first of all have face to face fellowship with Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I would ask you this morning, is this where you're at in your relationship with God? Because that's number one. That's your first priority, is what is your relationship with the Father? Do you enjoy face-to-face fellowship with the Son? Are you in that place of quiet communion? Are you where you can receive from Him so that you can give out to others when you come to church on Sunday or you meet them through the week? You need to have that face-to-face fellowship with Jesus Christ first and foremost. Number three, effective fellowship. It's first of all family fellowship. Second, it's face-to-face fellowship. Thirdly, effective fellowship is fervent fellowship. Verse 17, "But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face." Notice with me these words, "with great desire." Great desire. Listen, the Apostle Paul, I don't believe, was into cookies and coffee and donuts kind of fellowship. It wasn't casual thing. There was a fervent desire here, a great desire. Hey, listen, he didn't say, "Hey, I have a great desire to come for the refreshments." He came because he wanted to spend quality time with people in the body of Christ. He came because he wanted to encourage them. He came because he wanted to spend time around the things of Jesus Christ together with them. And that's what fervent fellowship is. It is a driving that we have. It's a desire that God places within the heart of the believer in order that we might desire to come together, that we share in the things of Jesus Christ. And listen, without that, it's not true fellowship. I don't care what the brochure says. It's not true fellowship unless it's fervent fellowship in Jesus Christ. I believe in today in our modern churches, this is very lacking. I think what we have in our churches today is what you might call convenient fellowship. Convenient fellowship. That's just, I'll come when I feel like it. I'll be there if I don't have something else to do. But listen, fervent fellowship says, I want to gather together with other people who are of like mind and who are in Christ. And I want to share with them and I want to encourage them and I want to be encouraged by them. That's the fervent fellowship that we need in the church today. And so here Paul, as he describes this fellowship, he's describing to you something that I believe is what you might call supernatural in his relationship with these people. I think it was a supernatural love. It's the agape love of God. It was this affectionate longing to be together. It wasn't natural. It wasn't something he had naturally. It was supernatural. I'd like for you to turn with me to another passage that illustrates this. It's in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, actually through verse 8. Again, this is a letter by the Apostle Paul to the church at Philippi. Listen to what he writes. He says, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the very first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers with me of grace." Now listen carefully to this. Listen to what he says in verse 8. He says, "For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ." Now do you get what he's saying here to the Philippians? This longing that he has to be with him, it's not something that comes from inside of myself that's part of my own natural makeup. You know, quite frankly, many times I don't even want to be around people. But there is an affection that goes beyond my own desires. It's the affection of Jesus Christ. It's that which he gives to me supernaturally. So that when I come together, there's a desire, there's a longing to be together. And listen, it's the affection of Jesus Christ. As I look out at you, there's an affection of Jesus Christ. It's not something that I came into because I've spent a great deal of time with you. It's simply because Jesus Christ has placed an affection in my heart for my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Years ago, I used to usher at Calvary Chapel in Costa Mesa. Many mornings, many times I would get up and I would think, you know what? I don't want to go there. I don't want to stand at that door. I don't want to smile at people. I don't want to shake their hands and I don't want to greet them. And saying, well, that's kind of harsh, isn't it, Pastor? No, it's a natural thing, isn't it? And you felt that way too, I'm sure. There's been times where you haven't wanted to come to church and you haven't wanted to gather with other believers. But I will tell you this, without exception, every time that I would go there and when I got to that door, something came over me that I cannot explain. There was an affection for everybody who came through that door, and I would smile at them, and I would greet them, and I would shake their hand, and I truly felt the affection of Jesus Christ for those people who came. And I realized, you know what? It's not me. It's Jesus Christ in me. And listen, when the need is there, when the heat is on, he comes through. Isn't that great? He comes through for us. The affection of Jesus Christ. Now you can go back again to 1 Thessalonians. And see, really, this is the only affection that will work, is the affection of Jesus Christ. And it's that affection of Jesus Christ within us that makes us have this fervent fellowship with one another. It is not a working up to it. It's a working out of the Spirit of God through Jesus Christ who is in me. The affection of Jesus Christ. And so that is the key to fervent affection. It's the very person of Jesus Christ who indwells us through the Holy Spirit. So we have this, first of all, it's family fellowship. Second, it's face-to-face fellowship. Thirdly, it's fervent fellowship. And that's what we see in verse 17. Now, we see something completely different when we move on to verse 18. We see that there is a fight that exists in fellowship. Now, you have probably experienced this before. Paul, notice with me here, he writes, therefore, we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but what happened? Satan hindered us. Satan hindered us. Do you know who the enemy of fellowship is? Satan. Satan does not want us to come together, and I can tell you categorically that so often Satan will seek to hinder you from coming together, from coming to church, from meeting with other believers, because listen, he is the enemy of fellowship. So it says there, therefore we wanted to come to you, even I, Paul, time and again, but Satan hindered us. You know, listen, we can't use this verse as an excuse not to come to church and be together. You know, I wanted to come to church, but oh man, you know, I was really hindered by Satan, you know, this morning. There was like, you know, there was a UT Texas A&M game, you know. You know, we have some reason for not coming together. And most often, it's not truly what Paul would write here about being hindered by Satan. And so we have to be careful that we don't use this passage somehow as an excuse and claim hindrance from Satan because we didn't come to church and gather together in fellowship. But you see, there is a very important principle that we need to understand here. And that is that there is a spiritual battle that takes place, I believe, when we would come together and have true, effective fellowship. Satan wants to hinder our fellowship. But let me tell you what Satan also wants to hinder. He wants to hinder that fellowship that you would have with Jesus Christ. You remember that face-to-face I was talking about a few minutes ago? That's what Satan really wants to hinder. He wants to hinder that first because he knows if he can stop you there, then he stopped you over here. And that's what he goes for first. And listen, he'll do everything he can in his power to keep you from spending time with your Savior. Satan will do everything he can to hinder you and to keep you and to distract you from spending quality time in fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because you see, it's that face-to-face fellowship with our Lord that counts first. And if he can stop you here, he can stop you over here. And so we've got to be on guard. We need to understand that there is this fight against our fellowship. There's a fight against fellowship. Now, I'd like for you finally to notice with me one other thing here, is that fellowship is in the future as well. And we see that. Notice with me here in verse 19, Paul says, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming?" Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus? Listen, what Paul's saying here is he's saying, listen, I look forward to the time when we can come together at the very end, when God brings us all together in that glorious time, what we call the rapture of the church. And that's going to be a great time because you know what? You're going to see people that you have brought into fellowship yourself. You're going to see those people. You look around you. You see the people you're around today. You know what? Same people you're going to be with when we go to heaven together. We're going to be together, the Bible says, for all of eternity, you see, because fellowship is not just now. It is eternal. And it was one of the great rewards that Paul saw and that Paul recognized is that he would have fellowship with those who were at Thessalonica. What a beautiful reward. What a great thing to think about. Now, one of the things I discover about thinking about something like that, especially fellowship now, I mean, I don't know about you, but there's sometimes people you don't necessarily want to fellowship with. Have you ever discovered that? Is there somebody in the church maybe that, you know, instead of hugging their neck, you'd like to choke their neck? And I believe we all go through times like that and seasons like that with some people. But you know what? Really, true godly fellowship transcends all of that. Because it's true, there are people that it's not that we necessarily like everything about them, but through Jesus Christ, the Bible says we can still love them. You know, we all would like to go to the ideal church, wouldn't we? Wouldn't we just all love to? But you know what? If you found the perfect church, I can tell you right now, as soon as you walk in the door, you know what? It's not perfect anymore. Because listen, none of us are perfect, and there really is. There's no perfect church. So though we would love the ideal church, the real key is to love the real church. To be able to love the people who God has placed around you, whomever they are. Whoever God has joined you together with in a local fellowship, those are the people who he has called you to love, warts and all. First of all, it's fellowship that is to be family fellowship. Second, it's fellowship that is to be face-to-face. Thirdly, it's fervent fellowship. And finally, we've looked at that there is a battle against our fellowship together. And lastly, that fellowship is for all of eternity. But I'll tell you one thing that's absolutely wonderful. First of all, is that you know that God wants to have fellowship with you. You ever thought about that? God desires to have fellowship with you. And you know, he gave the ultimate price so that he could have that. He sacrificed Jesus Christ, his only son, on the cross, the Bible says. Why? So that you could be with him. And so that he could have fellowship with you, unhindered. I don't know about you, but that's the grand news of the gospel. That we've been brought into fellowship with him because he loves us and he desires to be with us.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.